Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
I think I heard, we want Zlatan, we want Zlatan, and I gave them Zlatan.
And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo! Sensational!
I think he's a goal machine. He scored a beautiful goal today, but he should try it from 40 meters to see how, if it goes in.
Firmino joins in. Here's Firmino, saved by Edison. And then on the follow-up, it's Salah!
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. There are synopsis of some of the major things going on in the world of soccer. We ended there with Mo Salah's opening goal. It would end up being the game winner as Liverpool would get a 3-0 win over Manchester City. They do not concede a road goal at Anfield, and they are in the driver's seat. I'm expecting to hear from Liverpool fans here tonight. Barcelona also winning in convincing fashion. From a scoreline perspective over Roma today. So it's onward and upward next week in the UEFA Champions League. And just some stunning stuff today from Liverpool. And there's a lot of ways to cut this one up, and we'll talk about it here tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. And we stream, as always, ESPN975.com. New studios in here. Things are looking pretty good in here. I'm going to post a picture of the new setup here. The call-in number tonight is 713-780-3776, same as usual, 713-780-3776. Hit me up on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters, by the way, blowing up with Zlatan and a number of other things that I have posted over there. So Zlatan, UEFA Champions League, CONCACAF Champions League on the docket tonight. What about Toronto FC? Real Dynamo talk. That's what you get on this show. We're going to have the Dynamo general manager in tonight, Matt Jordan. And we're going to ask real questions. Unfortunately, our market does not ask enough real questions. And that's a part of, I think, the problem with the MLS product and the Houston Dynamo, who we beloved. And we want to make bigger and better and a bigger part of this community. 713-780-3776. We'll talk Dynamo on the heels of their 2-0 loss against New England. Some of your thoughts on that one. We'll talk about that tonight. Bruce Arena is in the news. I guess he's going to put a book out before the World Cup. This is obviously a very interesting time to do that. Frankly, not that interested in it. I think it's about legacy, his record, his ego. What do you think? I think I'm more focused on his lack of leadership against ahead of the Trinidad and Tobago game than anything else. He says he would not have changed anything he did. Oh, okay. Toronto FC, how about this? 3-1 win over Club America last night. First leg of the CONCACAF Champions League semifinals. Do you care? I do. I want to see MLS take this serious. So my hat goes off to Toronto FC. I think they did. And their fans braving the weather wonderfully up there tonight. Guess what? New York Red Bulls down at Chivas of Guadalajara. They're taking it serious as well. Club America coach Miguel Herrera coming off to me as a bit of a whiner in this one, criticizing referees, playing conditions, even the Toronto police, who he claims struck his players. The problem is no one has confirmed this. Greg Vanney of Toronto FC said he didn't see any of this. TFC's biggest mistake in this, I think, was conceding a soft goal against Club America at the top of their box, where Three guys kind of stood around looking at each other, and that's a shame because I think with the 3-0 lead down there, you're in good shape. You're going back to Azteca Stadium. You're going back to a very difficult place to play, but certainly pulling for the New York Red Bulls and Toronto FC, and I'm wondering if the league is as well. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number. So talk to me about Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I mean, this is one of the greatest debuts I've ever seen from an athlete. You don't know the name of your teammates. You've just flown in. Team's getting smoked. Looks terrible. It's 3-0 at halftime. Sebastian Legette scores. And at 3-1, all of a sudden, there's some hope. And you see the LA Galaxy playing better. And at that point, you're going, okay, I think Ziggy Schmidt is going to bring on Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And then the rest is history. Galaxy make it 3-2. Ibrahimovic lashes in the volley from 40 yards out. By the way, we've got that up at Facebook Soccer Matters. Lashes in the side volley, as only he could do, or very few could do. Makes it 3-3 and then wins it on a near post header that leaves goalkeepers and defenders sprawled out in the penalty area. Unbelievable. Truly unbelievable. The man's a sound machine. He's a quote machine. He's coming up with great quotes, as we played at the top of the show tonight. But what do you think of Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming to Major League Soccer and what he's done? There's a lot of people conditioning, well, oh, this, you know, he could have only done that in MLS. You're kidding me, right? Folks, at 35 years of age, he scored 28 goals in all competitions for Manchester United last year before a knee injury. MLS had nothing to do with the quality of these two goals. They were fantastic goals. They were goals worthy of any league. So, as I say that, the people that always want to look for the negative, not that I pay attention to that much anymore because there's way too much positive. You're missing the point here. He's come over. He's shining the light on the league. He right now is selling out Houston against Los Angeles on May 5th. And I'm sure the Dynamo don't mind me saying that. But guess what? You better get your tickets for the Dynamo against LA. And you know what? Who cares if you're coming to see an opponent's player? Zlatan Ibrahimovic. We need fans down there. We need people coming to the party. We need people who might walk away after coming there for Zlatan going, guess what? I'm going back to a Dynamo game. So, all of us, Zlatan, what time would you like to take your tea? Because I'll bring it to you, and I'll bring you as many lumps of sugar as you'd like. And every single person associated with Major League Soccer should be feeling that way too. 713-780-3776. If you're a guy who's now playing with him on the Galaxy, a player, unbelievable. If you're a manager getting to be a part of managing him, which, by the way, I don't think you have to do that very much if you're Ziggy Schmidt. It's his team. He's going to play when he wants to play. And I think that's going to be as much as possible and as often as possible because he didn't come here for the money. There's no question about that. He came here for the lifestyle and to continue to compete. And we do know he loves Los Angeles. 713-780-3776. Zlatan Ibrahimovic, good for MLS or not good for MLS? Now, in this world of snapshots and Instagram and picking out highlights and just the couple of things you want from games, and I'm going to put this question out here tonight, and it's one of the questions of the night. Do you watch full games? Soccer games, baseball, basketball, football, or are you just trying to pick out the good stuff? Did you sit through the whole LAFC game, even when it was 3-0? Or did you just hear about the highlights and go to the highlights? Because that's kind of the world we're living in now. Just trying to take out the pieces of games and wait for the highlights and the social media and the instantaneous gratification. Do you watch full games? Do you like the analysis of the game? Do you like the tactical side of it? Did you recognize the Dynamo were naive tactically when they came out so well against New England and conceded two very poor plays that really changed the course of the entire night? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. I've also got tickets to give away. I've got tickets for the Dynamo LA Galaxy. I've got tickets for the Houston Dash. I've also got tickets for Sunday's U.S. Women's National Team against Mexico. Streaming at ESPN 975. So let's go into this game for Liverpool today. Absolutely, incredibly well prepared. By the way, two of my favorite managers in the game today because of how aggressive they are from an attacking standpoint. They're proactive. I'm not into the managers that start negatively and invite people in and are afraid to push the game. That's why I love Klopp. That's why I love Guardiola. Klopp wins the tactical battle today. Klopp wins the preparation battle. Klopp wins every category today over Pep Guardiola. No question. 713-780-3776. Sergio Aguero's out for Manchester City. The alteration of playing with only two. I'm sure Pep Guardiola has a lot of reasons for doing that. I'm not sure if that plays a big part in it. Certainly could have. And who am I to question Pep Guardiola? And I'm sure he had very legitimate reasons. But Liverpool in the first 30 minutes, I mean, is that as good a half of soccer as they've played all year? And they've played some good ones. Pressing all over the place. Let's hear a little bit from Pep Guardiola, the manager of Manchester City.
I believe a lot of my team. So they show me so many good things during the season. So the result is so tough. So we cannot deny it. So if it's today it's talking about Barcelona go through, Madrid goes through, Bayern Munich goes through, and Liverpool is going through. But we have 90 minutes, all of us, Sevilla, Juventus and us. We have 90 minutes more and we're going to try it. Of course, it's so complicated because we're going to play a top, top, top team. But we're going to try it. We have the permission to believe it, you know?
So that was Pep Guardiola of Manchester City, 713-780-3776. React to the Champions League today. Some real drama. The other thing that Liverpool was, what I thought was so vital here, and that is the fact that they did not concede a road goal. They did not concede a goal to Manchester City. Because let's face it, if City had produced a goal in the final 10 minutes and it ended 3-1, that would have been kind of like regaining a bit of momentum. And it might have made the possibility of them turning it around. And not that that's out the window. Let's not get silly here. They could do a Barcelona on PSG. Remember that? City's capable of that. But the fact that they closed the door on City without conceding a goal, Liverpool, phenomenal. The atmosphere at Anfield, unbelievable. 713-780-3776. Does anybody out there firmly believe City can turn this around? I think we do believe. Let's go to Jurgen Klopp now, the manager of Liverpool.
We have to play more football, and that should be clear. And we can do that, so that's still space for a lot of improvement.
Yep.
But, of course, the result is the most important thing, and I never expected a perfect performance. I expected only that we be a real challenger, and we were a real challenger, and now we are 3-0 up. That's better than being 3-0 down, 100%, but it's not a decision.
So that was Jurgen Klopp weighing in, and Liverpool fans, I'm sure over at the Gorgeous Gale today, there was a good time going on. Who would have thought three goals in the first 31 minutes? Pretty unbelievable occurrence there. But Liverpool really putting it to Manchester City here today. So anybody have any thoughts on that? 713-780-3776. We can also talk the results from yesterday as well. Bayern Munich coming out of that one pretty dominant. I don't think any question there. Today, Barcelona getting the result that they want, which includes a bunch of goals. And 4-1. Was the final score with Barcelona. Let's take a listen to the goal from Luis Suarez.
Denis encarando, buscando el espacio, la pone Denis, balón suelto, Suarez. Good.
Some of the performances today from Liverpool that were impressive. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I don't think there's any question Manchester City went at him. Young guy, absolutely excellent in this one. Actually outshined Kyle Walker. Dejan Lovren, solid, dependable, alongside Virgil van Dijk. Robertson, the Scotsman, has been a wonderful, wonderful find on the left side. I mean, everybody in this Liverpool squad performing well, and of course they perform well in front of an amazing crowd. But they make Manchester City pay today. 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. And from a fun perspective, let's just talk about Zlatan Ibrahimovic's goal in comparison to Cristiano Ronaldo's yesterday, with Real Madrid looking as menacing and dangerous as ever, the bicycle kick. Which one do you like better? Or is that even a silly question? Because they were both a wonder to the eyes. If you had to pick one, which one do you like better? Zlatan's slashed in volley and why? Or Cristiano Ronaldo's overhead bicycle kick in their definitive victory against Juventus? By the way, have we ever seen Juventus just look like their souls were ripped out of them at home? Give up in front of the home fans? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in to talk about the Champions League. Now, a number of people were talking about the Houston Dynamo as well. Dynamo now 1-2-1. Two losses at home. That eclipses the entire season last year. Where are you with the Houston Dynamo right now? We'll take calls on that as well. Let's go to the first caller of the night, and Al. Al, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I heard you talking about my boy Cristiano Ronaldo's goal and Zlatan's goal. I talk about a way to start your MLS career with that amazing goal from near midfield for Zlatan. And then, you know, with Cristiano, I feel like Madrid, this is their time. You know, I feel like sometimes they buy time during the regular season in La Liga, but when it's Champions League time, they turn another gear. And I was worried about them in the group stage a little bit, but it's the performance that they had against Juventus, against a team that's also trying to, you know, just as good, just ready right there to win the whole Champions League. Their performance was impressive in the first leg. And then kind of listening to you in terms of Liverpool, I thought the main thing that was most impressive about Liverpool was, as impressive as their first 45 was in the three goals, the second 35, the way they played defense down the stretch, like you said, I thought they were going to give up a goal late, and that would have given Man City all the momentum going forward. But the way that I think the defense in the second 45, it should give Liverpool fans confidence they can hold it together for the next 90, because Man City is going to score in the second leg. But now they virtually have to score, you know, four goals to be able to move on.
I love that comment, Al, because that was impressive, and I think that's what we were all wondering. Okay, you know, if Manchester City picks off an away goal here, it's sort of grabbing momentum back, and it'll take a little bit of the edge off and the shine off of the dominance in the first 45 and scoring three goals. And, you know, in the first 31 minutes, you got the opener from Salah, you got the bomb from the Ox. I mean, it was unbelievable. But, yeah, and that was the question going into the second half. I'm sitting on my couch watching it and listening to Alexi Lalas and company all breaking it down. And, you know, without a doubt, that's I wanted to see, all right, so how do they handle this 3-0 lead? And you know, are they going to be able to absorb it? I think Jurgen Klopp got a little bit nervous at one point when they just seemed to be sitting a little bit too deep, you know, on top of Loris Karius at one point. But
and that's
boy.
When I thought they were going to give up the goal. I thought they were going to concede the goal right there, because I was nervous myself.
Yeah, and boy, they just they fought like animals. I think the performances was where it needed to be. And they were backed by just unbelievable support. I mean, it was incredible. The visuals, even on television at home, and the audio was just incredible, Al.
And going forward, I feel with Liverpool, you know, if you do make it to the next round, you at this point you have nothing to lose. You're kind of the odd man out because you're likely to be in a Final Four with Barcelona. The winner, I think it'll be Madrid over Juventus, and it'll likely be Bayern over Sevilla. And so you, and so if you as Liverpool, I mean, you weren't expected to be here. You weren't expected to make it past Man City in the first place. So you have nothing to lose at this stage. And that makes them a dangerous team.
Well, I think it was the one draw and the one tie that Manchester City didn't want. You know, it was a very open game in the regular season. 4-3, Liverpool opened them up. So they obviously had confidence they could score goals against them. But I think today they just looked better prepared. They looked more up for the moment. I thought De Bruyne was just didn't look comfortable and sharp. I don't know if it was because of the way Guardiola maybe changed things from a tactical perspective. But something was going on because, in the second half, I mean, closing, getting pressure on the ball, closing down spaces, this ethic from Liverpool, I mean, it was just incredible. Mistake-free stuff, pretty much. Wonderful. Trent Alexander-Arnold, I mean, how wonderful is it to watch a young player like that producing? Lovren lives up to the moment. Van Dijk does. I mean, everybody lived up to it on this day. There was nobody who had a bad game. Mane scores one of the goals. Firmino's a part of the first half. Running like a man, running for two men. Salah gets his goal as he always does. I mean, how consistent is this man? It's incredible what this guy's been doing. Chamberlain.
You just hope they don't Liverpool it up in the second leg.
Chamberlain hits the bomb, but also is very responsible defensively. Henderson disciplined. Leeds as a captain, very good stuff. Listen, Al, thank you very much for the phone call. We'll continue to take calls at 713-780-3776. Hey, an evening with Alex Stepney, the famous Manchester United goalkeeper. It's June 8th, 6:30 p.m. to midnight. It's at the Doubletree downtown, 400 Dallas Street. RSVP 281-520-0867. Stepney, former England goalkeeper, Manchester United, or you go to Tom Clare, C-L-A-R-E, 346 at gmail.com. Tickets are $120, but this has got pediatric cancer all over it. This is a Kick Cancer event. It's a Curing Children's Cancer Fund event. It is spearheaded by the author Tom Clare, who, by the way, unbelievable news is cancer. Tom had cancer. His cancer is in remission. Nothing better than that. And hey, as host of Soccer Matters, the Dynamo are back in action. What a better way to celebrate them with an ice-cold Bud Light. Let's honor our great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery out on I-10 East. So put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on. Proudly brewed in Texas and official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. It is Bud Light. We'll take a break. We'll take a Bud Light break. We'll be back with more Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Call in number 713-780-3776. Caller number 6 right now at 713-780-3776. A pair of tickets to the U.S. Women's National Team against Mexico this Sunday.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. So we've been talking Champions League today, and you saw some incredible drama. Liberty Kitchen. Carl Eaves has brought the food in here tonight, and we thank Carl from Liberty Kitchen. Carl designed Liberty Kitchen restaurants, by the way. Great for brunch, friends, family, business meetings, you name it. They got locations, River Oaks, Memorial City Heights. If there's a soccer match you want to watch, there's a TV at all the Liberty Kitchen bar areas. Great spot to go catch the World Cup as well. Modern comfort food with Gulf Coast influences. I'm going to tell you about some of the things like the hot smoked Seattle salmon, mac and cheese, yellowfin tuna mignon. We'll talk a little bit more about that throughout the night, but we're all fortunate here. Everybody's going to be able to have some of the great food from Liberty Kitchen. And then Carl mentioned to me also that Liberty Kitchen, when we do a roundtable, because he's been involved with the HFA here locally in soccer, he's going to bring in a full smoked salmon one night on a cedar plank. So that'll be nice. We might even do some wine to go along with that as well. I mean, that could be a good night to be on the roundtable. All right. Now, last minute today, got the word out to Matt Jordan, the Dynamo general manager, asking him to come on the show. He's in here live here tonight. You can check this out on Facebook Soccer Matters. I believe the Dynamo are putting it up as well, and so is ESPN 975. So Matt Jordan in studio. Matt, thank you very much for coming in.
Thanks, Glenn. I appreciate it.
Much appreciated. All right, so let's start right away with what we saw today. I know you and I were just chatting about Liverpool. Talk about the Champions League to me in that match.
I mean, it's just unbelievable the amount of emotion that was involved in that game. I mean, in the stadium, I mean, you could, through the TV, you could feel the energy. But you could also tell that, you know, Liverpool, they knew there was a lot of work to be done, you know, and that you could even tell that with the post-game comments as well.
Yeah, you had mentioned, too, that it was interesting watching Jurgen Klopp and how, you know, you remain very reserved and respectful here, not wanting to do anything to ignite an opponent.
Absolutely. Especially after the third goal, you know, you're expecting, you know, that's such a critical goal. You're expecting that emotion, knowing him, to come out. And you could tell right away that there's a lot more work to be done.
Boy, that was remarkable. What do you think the difference is in this one? The preparation by the manager? You know, obviously Pep Guardiola tinkered a little bit with his lineup without Aguero there and played with two strikers. Do you think a subtle change like that sometimes can really maybe throw things off kilter a little bit?
Yeah, I do. You know, I think that, you know, players get used to, you know, a certain rhythm, you know, and especially in a big moment like that, when there's such, you know, such a big change, I think that sometimes does disrupt the rhythm of the team. But at the end of the day, at that level, it's all about key moments, you know, those are world-class players, and that's the world, you know, the highest level there is. And so it's just about plays, you know, and those difference makers made the difference in that moment.
On the other hand, who knows? Even if they had three strikers in Aguero, with the way that Liverpool came out, the way they were prepared, the way they were up for the moment, nobody had an off game for them.
No. I mean, and that's I always do this even with our own team. You know, Wilmer and I talk about this all the time. You know, to have a good game, you need to have 7 or 8 players that perform at a very good level. Usually 9. You know, sometimes you can have, you know, 2 to 3 max that don't perform at their highest level or maybe have an average game. But if you have 3, 4, 5 guys that have average to below average games, more often than not, you're going to lose the game. And you saw today, Liverpool is firing on all cylinders, and they were up for the moment without a doubt.
713-780-3776 if you want to have a word with the Dynamo general manager or you have a question for the show here tonight. So obviously, before we get into Dynamo talk, the arrival of Zlatan Ibrahimovic and what he did. We're all marveling at that. It's gone outside of the world of soccer in this country. It's gone into mainstream media. And he follows it up with all these wonderful quotes. He's a quote machine. You know, what do you take away from that performance, number one? And then number two, that type of a star being in Major League Soccer.
Well, I think it's an unbelievable statement for our league. That's a moment that will be forever etched in the history of Major League Soccer. I mean, you know, in 20, 30, 40 years time, you, myself, and everybody that watched that game will remember that moment when he came on and, you know, when he scored that goal. And when you're in my position, you hope that when you play against them, that he doesn't pull that off as well. But I think it's unbelievable. There's not many players in the world that have that confidence in themselves to be up for that moment, you know, with that amount of pressure on that stage coming off of that injury. And that's what really stood out to me, which was really impressive. And I mean, what a performance.
Yeah. It's interesting because people begin to condition it and they're, oh, you know, he's done that because it's in Major League Soccer. And it's almost laughable because at 35, he scored 28 goals in all competitions for Manchester United before injuring the knee.
Yes.
So it's a significant moment. Now, I'm going to take you into something that you hear a lot of Dynamo fans say this. When do we get our star? Because when they see this, they're going, We want a piece of that. We want a guy of that stature to come here.
Yeah.
How do you answer that to the fan? Because, look, I get this back from them all the time. The minute that happened, you know, you're getting Dynamo fans rambling about, hey, we want our star in Houston.
Well, you know, there's a lot of different there's a lot of different factors that go into, you know, a signing like that. I mean, first and foremost, you know, he and I could say this with 100% certainty, probably said the only, you know, one of the key factors for me to come back to Major League Soccer is to be in Los Angeles, you know, near the beach.
So he wants a lifestyle. He does love LA. That's documented.
Listen, I'll give you exactly. So I'll give you an example. When I was working in Montreal, you know, we were working to bring Del Piero. And Del Piero at that time, it was New York or Los Angeles. It was New York or Los Angeles. And you know, when some of these players get to that level and they're coming from, you know, from a club like Manchester United, you know, they have that set in their mind. You know, and I what I really am proud of just being a part of this league for a long time, you know, what you used to see years back, and you know this, you would see a player, you know, not of his level, but you'd see a top player that maybe had two or three stops in their career. They may, you know, maybe they played at Barcelona and then, you know, they went to Real Sociedad and then they, you know, went to Germany for a year. So they had two or three stops coming from that level. But I think it's unbelievable now you're seeing with our league that players are coming straight from the highest level to our league and they want to come. You know, and that's it's I'm excited. It's really exciting. And, you know, speaking to the other part of your question about Houston, our approach, you know, we're taking a different model, you know, than that. And so, again, we have stars on our team. You know, look at Albert, look at Morrow, look at, you know, Romel, look at, you know, Tomas is growing, look at Cabezas, look at a lot of these guys. And they're, you know, and you look throughout the history.
They're not
of the league.
Zlatan with the quotes, and
I know,
and, you know, we don't get their personality. And I think Albert is breaking out, and I think we're seeing, and I think people love it. The fact that he went to took all those kids to a movie.
Yeah,
I think people want to see that. Don't people want to see individual players?
Without doubt, they want to see.
And I know you
makers.
Guys want to keep everybody humble and everybody together, and you don't want, you know, egos to. But
let me,
man, this is what the public wants.
Yeah, look, and the one thing I'll say though is that, you know, maybe 15, 20 years ago when the league began, when a player, a top player, would come to the league, and you know, and they maybe had a mediocre season and they came to retire and just play for one season, at that time it's like, okay, you know, that's a great player, and the people kept excited about it. But now the fans are much more in tune with what's going on. So they're not, it's not gonna, if we, let's just say here with the Dynamo, we bring a player that was, you know, 37 years old that, you know, played at a high level. But if it's over for him, and after, you know, two or three games, you know, you just see it going like this, the fans are too savvy. They're too educated. They understand, and that's going to wear off. Now, Zlatan is a top five. You know, you could argue he's a top five striker of all time. So it's a different, you know, level player. So, you know,
so
you
let's
know what I'm
say,
saying.
Let's say after the World Cup, Chicharito contacts Matt Jordan in the Houston Dynamo, says, you know what, I want to come play in Houston because it's near Mexico, it's near my family. I want to come to Houston. I want to make Houston my city, and I want to help you platform soccer into the stratosphere. What do you do?
We would love to have him. We would love to
hope
have
Chicharito's
him.
Chicharito's listening to the show.
I hope so, too. We'd love to have him. But you also look, I mean, the challenge with a situation like that, I mean, he's in the prime of his career.
But could the Dynamo get that done financially?
Listen, our ownership group is open. I mean, we're open. You've seen the investments we've made, but, you know, it's about finding the right player, you know, at the right moment, you know. And so you've seen the investments we've made, and you know, in the last, you know, 48, you know, at least the last 24, 48 months, I mean, we've been aggressive. And obviously, you know, we showed that this last offseason.
Matt Jordan, Dynamo General Manager, gratefully coming in studio here tonight. All right, let's talk about the New England game. We were ranting and raving about the wonderful, aggressive start, and then, quite frankly, two very naive moments changed the course of the night. How disappointing is that? Because it's a critical time of the year for you because of this weird scheduling you have as well. You don't have a game for 2 weeks, two losses at home now, eclipsing last year. Are you concerned?
Well, obviously, we weren't happy. I mean, I think when you look at our games this year, I mean, you know, Atlanta, we had an outstanding performance, you know. But, you know, we weren't sitting, you know, hanging, you know, from the top of the roofs, you know, we were very, you know, we knew that it's a process. You look at the Vancouver game, we played very well. You know, we played a very good game. You know, if you look at all the metrics and every single, you know, we got played
that.
Well.
You guys outplayed them. Their goalkeeper made two unreal saves. You know, that was all you
DC,
guys.
Second half, we didn't play well. It wasn't, right. You know, that wasn't up to our standards. We come off that very disappointed. We look at last game, considering we went a man down, you know, I was very proud of the guys. I was very proud of the guys, you know, looking at 60, 65 minutes, you know, playing a man down, even after the red card. I mean, we continued to create chances. And so, We leave disappointed about the result for sure, but we do feel that we played a good game, you know. And so more often than not, you know, when you just keep chipping away, those games are going to go your way.
But how do you define a good game? Because in this day and age, you make one huge mistake.
Yes,
like the Dynamo did on that opening goal.
Yes,
and your night has changed. And this is how razor thin and sharp it has become.
Yes.
When it comes to decision making. So I have to think, when that happened, I'm thinking, man, Wilmer must be, you know, it's disappointing.
Yes.
Because nobody's paying attention to the balance of the team. Nobody was thinking tactically at that moment. And they break out in the 4-on-1 and they hit you. And you guys had them staggered against the ropes at that point.
Without a doubt. I mean, you saw the first 15 minutes we came out, you know, we had several chances. And it was just a moment, you know, where we needed to be better. You know, we needed to be better. And unfortunately, we got punished in that moment. And that really, you know, put us behind the eight ball in the game. We had chances. And look, you know, errors are going to happen in the game. You know, and you can sit and point at, you know, this missed pass.
I get it. It's easy to pick this out. But these are moments now that are important because I think the Western Conference has improved.
Yes.
Without a doubt. We don't know what's going to happen with LA now after being so dismal last year, but I have to think they're trending upward. So I think singular play. So when I looked at that game, I said, who is the tactical leader on the field for the Dynamo? Who is the person in that moment saying, Eric Alexander, why are you going to take a throw-in by the corner flag? You should be staying in the middle. Where is the guy pulling him back in, by the way, if he's you know, caught up in the chaos of all the aggressive attacking? Who is that tactical leader on the Dynamo? Because I think that's part of the road problem as well.
Well,
thinking the game tactically at that point?
Yeah, listen, I think right now, you know, you look at you know, our squad. Unfortunately, we're dealing with a handful of injuries more than we've dealt
Cabezas
with in the past.
I know Cabezas is going to be somebody you're going to go to.
You look at Cabezas, you look at Senderos, you know, those are two players down the spine of the team. You know, Beasley as well, you know, with his experience. You know, we have two very experienced goalkeepers as well. So you're always going to look for that level of tactical organization down the spine of your team. And I'm not going to hide from it. Listen, there were those moments we could have done better. But I do believe in the guys. I think Darwin brings that, you know, to the table, you know, and Darwin's been a very good addition to the roster. You know, Tomas had an excellent game. You know, Tomas.
I think that's the hidden gem out of this game. This was maybe his best game as a Dynamo.
Well, look
at his ideas what he did on the ball,
and look at the ball he put Minotas in on. I mean, there's not many players in this league that can make that pass. Mm-hmm. And I think he had one of his strongest performances as well. You know, and even you know I have to give Wilmer credit. You know, when the red card happened. You know, you're like, you know, when you're in my shoes, you're like, okay, you're looking at the bench and you're saying, okay, what do we, you know, and he was very calm. He was very composed, you know, did a little bit of what Vancouver did when they just dropped their winger back and Andrew went to left back. Mm-hmm. You know, Tomas put in a lot of work out wide. And, you know, I thought that was, I thought we were pretty calm under the circumstances.
Could Andrew be a solution at the right back position for you guys?
Andrew has a lot of utility to his game.
He was a defender in college with Duke.
Yeah. No, listen, Andrew has a lot of utility to his game, and he's been doing quite well. Obviously, he has a lot of experience, you know, at the college game. You know, I want to say Andrew was the only NCAA player ever to win college defender of the year,
like
and
the ACC.
Offensive
but I mean,
player of the year.
Could he be a solution at right back? That's got to be a point of contention right now, the right back position.
Well, listen, I think you see, you know, obviously Adolfo plays there for the national team. Alejandro's played there as well with Carabobo. De La Garza's working his tail off to get back. You know, so, you know, those are guys that you know we obviously will count on. Andrew has a lot of utility to his game, and I think what's good about Andrew is he works on both sides of the ball. He's very, very honest. So, you know, that's it's a credit. I think. Look, it was disappointing that you had to go with what you started the question with. It's about results. I mean, you know, it's about results. And, you know, we're disappointed that we didn't get the result we were looking for. But I can tell you the group is strong. They're very motivated. They're hungry. They're not putting their heads down. And same with our staff.
So you don't have a game for 2 weeks. You go to San Jose. Okay. Well, I just got told we're going to take a break. So Matt Jordan's going to stay with us. One more segment, Matt. Good for you. Yeah. Dynamo General Manager Matt Jordan in studio here. Hey, I just want to remind you, Matt, you know what? With the World Cup this summer, you better have crystal clear television. You got to want to watch Ronaldo. You want to watch Neymar. You want to watch these guys in crystal clear television. So I'm going to tell you how to get your home theater situation sorted out. THS is the place to go get set up for the World Cup. THS will come out. They'll get you a quote. And you'll get you on your way to home theater installation with all the latest 4K video technology. It's my friend Jesse. Jesse's got 20 years of experience. THS can do it all. Home theater, home automation, networking, lighting designs, motorized shades, home audio. Get a new home theater for the World Cup in Russia. Get ready for the summer. Make sure that you're seeing it crystal clear. Jesse, 281-506-7822 or Jesse at THS3Inc.com. Or go to their website, www.ths3inc.com. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to go hit the green room and some of the great food from Liberty Kitchen that Carl Eves just brought in. So let's go get a bite to eat. Take a quick break. We're coming back with more.
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
Let me remind you about John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm are personal injury attorneys, great supporters of this show and your sport, soccer. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. Now, we don't want you to get in an accident, but we all get in car accidents, boat, motorcycle, maybe industrial, construction. Might work in a plant or refinery. You might drive an 18-wheeler. Daspit Law Firm's going to be there. They're going to treat your case as if it's their own. DaspitLaw.com, 713-322-HURT. My good friend John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And by the way, we just ran out. We're eating salmon. We're eating fried oysters. Matt Jordan had a shot of tasting some of this. I've already knocked back a bunch of stuff. So we thank the Liberty Kitchen for bringing stuff in. We've got some smoked salmon in here. We've got some tuna. We've got all kinds of incredible just little dishes here. I don't know who's going to eat all this, but somebody's going to have to take some of this home here tonight. Hector Casteltort, who's helped me with the bilingual interviews, you're going to take some home tonight. All right, Matt, we're going to go to the phone lines here in a minute. 713-780-3776. Before we take our next caller, I just want to ask you about Ramel Kyoto. Mm-hmm. Seems to have really struggled to find his form. I know he's had injuries. I know he's had illness. It was all the way back to the end of last year. I see the Dynamo as a team to be scared of when him and Albert Elise are in the starting lineup. And I think teams around the league are like that. What's going on with Ramel Kyoto?
Listen, Ramel, you're exactly right. You know, it was difficult. You know, it was a difficult preseason for him, you know, just to find rhythm with some when he got sick, you know, and had to be out of training, you know. And so that kind of put him behind the guys. It put him behind the fitness level with the rest of the team. But I think you saw last game, you know, I mean, look at the ball he put in, you know, for Albert, you know, and you saw that right when he went on, you know, he was a constant threat. And that's what he is. You know, he's a constant threat on the field. And for sure, you know, when you have him on one side and Albert on the other side, when you're a defender, you know, when that's coming at you, you can't overplay one side. And so we're confident, you know, he's regaining his sharpness and his fitness, and he's going to be an important piece for us.
Is he there mentally right now?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Listen, I mean, he is working hard. He's working very hard. I watched training today. And, I mean, he's putting in the work. He acknowledges that, you know, he was behind the eight ball with the rest of the guys a little bit. And, you know, and it's tough. You know that. When you're 2-3 weeks behind the rest of the team, you know, you got to find rhythm. And so we're looking forward to him, you know, playing a bigger and bigger role.
Is Albert's reemergence, I mean, is Rommel's reemergence very important for Albert Elise? In other words, Albert is targeted now. Albert is a known entity. Albert has an unbelievable start to the season. People are targeting him. They're getting second and third defenders over there.
Yep.
Clutching, grabbing, kicking. Is it essential that Rommel finds that form that he had in the beginning of last year? Because beginning of last year, we were talking about Rommel Kyoto. We weren't talking as much about Albert Elise.
Yeah, it is important. It is important. You know, obviously also, you know, Tomas, you know, getting his rhythm. You know, we have, you know, Memo and Arturo who are obviously can bring a lot to the table. Andrew's been doing well. Moro's, you know, Moro, you know, what I like, you know, what we liked seeing from Moro last game too is, you know, obviously he has the ability to create chances on his own, but he was opening up space and putting guys in for, you know, slipping little balls in. So, you know, the guys are working. Rommel is doing quite well, you know, and we're confident that he's going to be continuing to gain rhythm, and he's in a good moment. He's in a good place. You know, he's working hard.
Let's go to the phone lines. Jose. Jose, what do you got for the Dynamo general manager? You're on with Matt Jordan and Glenn Davis.
Hello, Glenn. Hello, Matt. A season ticket holder here. And I want to talk about Xabi Alonso. Like Glenn said, the Dynamo needs like a tactical leader on the team. And so who does the team look up to? I believe he would have been a great signing before he had retired because he was like a true leader, a proven winner. I think he would have fit in with the team environment. You know, so were we ever at a time looking to sign him? Or is there anyone we looking for right now in the international market?
Well, you know, first of all, thank you very much for being a season ticket holder. Listen, Alonso, of course, he'd be a great addition to any team. You know, we are constantly looking, you know, and we are always looking and we are looking and preparing for the market. And you really, there's a lot of planning that goes 6-12 months out, to continue to look at options and to be tracking players. And so, you know, for us, we're always looking to improve each of our lines. And again, Glenn said this a little bit earlier, you know, we do have good leaders on our team. If you look at, you know, guys like DeMarcus Beasley, strong leader, Felipe Senderos, strong leader, Juan David Cabezas, who unfortunately is still coming back from injury, but he's a strong leader on the team. Darwin Serens transitioned in quite well. You know, so we have a lot of steady MLS veterans as well that have really shown over the years that they can be strong leaders. So we've got good leaders that help, you know, with our tactical formation in the moment during the game, and we'll continue to we're continuing to push, and we're always looking to improve as well. So we appreciate your support, Jose.
Jose, thank you very much for the phone call. We appreciate that from Jose. West has improved. I don't think there's any question. It certainly looks like it to me from what I see. That's just my judgment. And I know you retain very big pieces, but one of the things I hear Dynamo fans saying a lot is Dynamo haven't done enough to keep up in the West. Agree, disagree, and how do you respond to a fan that would ask you that question?
Well, I would disagree. You know, I think that, you know, we had a, you know, busy off season, a very busy off season. Anytime, you know, every team kind of goes through its different cycles, right? And, you know, when you look at last off season, you know, I want to say we changed 15 players, 14 players. And so and looking at this last off season, you know, we made, you know, a handful of changes as well. So it's always that delicate balance between bringing continuity to a group, because that's important. Look at Toronto right now. That's a group that brought continuity, but they sprinkled in players. And so for us, we feel that, you know, the way we built the team, we're in a moment where we can sprinkle in, you know, players that we feel complement the existing group, you know. So, but in saying that, we are looking, you know, to the summer window. We're looking to the window next winter as well. So, you know, we're always looking to improve the team, and, you know, it's normal. It's normal that, you know, and that's what the best part about being a fan is, you have an opinion and you express that, you know.
So I'm not going to ask you for names, but can you tell us positionally what's your priorities right now?
I'd say, you know, positionally, our priority is to have 2 to 3 options in each line lined up for each window.
You know I'm coming back at you. I want you to be specific.
I understand.
Right back?
That.
Is it striker? Is it holding midfielder? Where are your positions that in your mind you're really prioritizing?
Well, you know, I think you, and I've heard you say this publicly as well, you know, okay, you know, the Dynamo, you know, I think in your opinion need to look for a striker or look at the right back position. Again, going back to what I said before, you know, looking at guys like Adolfo, AJ's coming back. So those, you know, so you're always kind of balancing, you're always balancing, you know, the week to week, month to month of the season in the grind, while also succession planning, looking at what you have at your USL team. Also, you know, we just had the GA Cup as well, which was very good. Looking at what you have coming through the pipeline. So there's a lot of moving parts to it. But I can just say that we're always looking to have 2 to 3 options in each line, you know, so if something happens, we're ready to move quick.
If I look at the right back position, yes, AJ De La Garza is coming back, and we all want him to come back strong, but he also is coming off a very serious injury. It's an ACL, so there's no guarantees. So that's why, you know, I've kind of targeted the right back position. I'm not sure you wanted to play Adolfo Machado after 180 minutes and a flight back. I think you may have been forced to play him there. Yeah. That's just, again, it's only my judgment, so I'm not trying to be the smartest guy in the room here. But I'm thinking of scenarios here, so that's why I've said the right back position, and I think opponents have targeted the Dynamo in that area as well over the course of 2018. So that's why, you know, positionally, people want to know where are the Dynamo going? What is Matt looking for? Marcelo Palomino, I know from around the country, friends that are in the agent business, people that are monitoring, they all say this kid's the real deal. Have you guys offered him a contract?
We, right now, Marcelo is training with the first team every day. And, you know, it's been wonderful to have him in. I mean, the challenge you always have with a player of his age is bringing him along the right way. You know, that's very important as a part of the process. And, you know, he's obviously balancing his schoolwork. He's balancing, you know, training with the first team full time for the first time in his young career, balancing within the framework of every week, going down to the 19s. He just played the GA Cup. I went to the GA Cup as well, which was great to watch the guy. So Marcelo's been progressing, you know, and that's the one good thing is that, you know, you could tell initially it was fast for him, but you're seeing his speed of play is getting better. So, you know, we're pleased with his progress and, you know, we see him and I see him on a daily basis walking out of my office on his way to school. And the good thing about him is he's a very well-grounded kid. He comes from a very good support system with his family.
So you like everything about him.
He's a good player. He's a good player, you know, and obviously
is he a guy that you want under contract. Did you offer him a contract?
We're right now. I know you're trying to put me on the spot.
No,
here, but
no,
it's fine.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot, Matt. People are asking this question. People know this is a very talented young player. I look from the outside, like a million people in, not a million, we hope it's a million, but a lot of people in Houston, and they say, look, this kid's touted. He looks the real deal. Let's sign this guy. Let's make him ours. Yeah. That's why I ask you the question.
No, no.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
And I totally understand.
I think it's a legitimate question.
And I totally understand. And listen, you also have to respect that the process that's involved, and everyone has to respect there's a process involved with any young player. And, you know, that's what's important is that there, it's a step-by-step process. There's obviously, you know, when you're looking, when you're at that age, you know, you're always looking at, you know, okay, he wants, of course, to evaluate, okay, is the school option the right approach? You know,
there's a lot of choices. And he's got
to
make it with his parents.
Exactly. So it's never anything that you want to force. You know, you want to let it evolve organically.
No, but you know in your mind, to get him now in these very important developmental years of 16 and 17, then you're entrusted of accelerating his development, which you've just aptly mentioned to me is occurring because he's around the first team. It's all about environment. You'd rather have him at 16 than 18.
Yeah, well, look,
you can use your academy to put your input into this kid's growth.
Well, and the other thing, too, that's important is that, you know, and he's done a good job as he's grown, you know, being able to keep the level up with the first team. And we're it's a big benefit for us too that we have a coach like Wilmer and a really experienced coaching staff. But Wilmer is in particular who has a lot of experience working with players of that age, you know, and so that's from the day to day process. It's really important.
Wilmer's still a teacher.
Wilmer's a teacher. You know what I'm saying? And Wilmer and I.
17 U.S. national team, Wilmer. And by the way.
Two World Cup cycles. So yeah. I'm pretty confident that our coach has a lot of experience with kids right. that age.
Right. But yeah. he, you know, that's why I would say you want to get him sooner rather than later.
It's been, you know, he's a great kid, comes from a great family. We're in regular communication with him and his family. So you know, we're enjoying having him with us and seeing him develop.
Matt, didn't get to everything we wanted. Real quick one before I let you go. Transfer window this summer. Are we going to make some moves? You got cash. You got Kubo cash here. Let's do something, baby.
We're looking. And we're looking hard. And we're always aggressively preparing. So that's the one thing I can assure you is that we're always looking to improve the team.
Matt, thank you very much for coming on the show. We appreciate it. Short notice, Matt Jordan in studio. On your way out, grab some of that Liberty Kitchen salmon for the wife.
Exactly.
Take a couple of those. No, I'm serious. Take a few of those home.
Thank you.
Hector, you too. Appreciate Matt Jordan coming in. A big round of applause for him for coming in studio. Hey, by the way, don't forget the Flat in Montrose, the home of the best local, national, international DJs. Wonderful vibe. It's theflathouston.com. Don't forget also Bud Light. They have been longtime sponsors of this show. We appreciate Bud Light. The Dynamo are back in action. What better way to celebrate than with an ice cold Bud Light? Honor the great state of Texas this month with a beer that's made by Texans for Texans. Bud Light has been brewed deep in the heart of Texas for over 30 years right here at the Houston Brewery. Put on your Dynamo Orange, grab some friends, some refreshing Bud Light, and show me what your Texas is all about. Here's to the beer you can always count on, proudly brewed in Texas and the official beer of Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. That is Bud Light, and it would go very, very good with Liberty Kitchen.